This is day 47 of our daily Bible reading. Today we are only going to read three chapters. We're going to read Deuteronomy chapters 32 through 34 because they are long and it will end the book of Deuteronomy. And then we will go naturally into Psalm 47. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you today for being a faithful and good God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of chaos and out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, that favor that we don't deserve, the blessings that we did not earn. And yet you are giving us an example, Lord, of how to love each other and how to love you in return. You first loved us, and you are the one who has taught us how to love. You're the one who has taught us how to bestow grace to others, how to be merciful, how to be kind. Because you did it all first. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful example in you, our Father, in the Old Testament, and through your Son, Jesus, in the New Testament. You are the same God, and we thank you, Lord, for being consistent and loving your people from beginning to end. May we take a portion of your Spirit today into our own hearts and cause us to grow in love toward each other and toward the lost world that needs to hear about its Savior. Because we know, Lord, that you are the only way. Thank you, Lord, for this time to study your Scripture, and please bless the reading of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song, until they were complete. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. They have acted corruptly towards him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of men, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land. And in the howling waste of a wilderness, he encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field. And he made him suck honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows, and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs, and rams, the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the finest of the wheat, and of the blood of grapes you drank wine. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek. Thus he forsook God who made him, and scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you, and forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and burns to the lowest part of Sheol, and consumes the earth with its yield, and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine, and consumed by plague, and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts I will send upon them, with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside, the sword will bereave, and inside, terror, both young man and virgin, the nursling with the man of gray hair. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove the memory of them from men. Had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, that their adversaries would misjudge, that they would say, our hand is triumphant, and the Lord has not done all this? For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future. How could one chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them, and the Lord had given them up? Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. For their vine is from the vine of Sodom, and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents, and the deadly poison of cobras. Is it not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine, and retribution, in due time their foot will slip. For the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them. For the Lord will vindicate his people, and will have compassion on his servants, when he sees that their strength is gone, and there is none remaining, bond or free. And he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices, and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Indeed, I lift up my hand to heaven, and say, as I live forever, if I sharpen my flashing sword, and my hand takes hold on justice, I will render vengeance on my adversaries, and I will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives, from the long-haired leaders of the enemy. Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. And I will render vengeance on his adversaries, and will atone for his land and his people. Then Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he with Joshua the son of Nun. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you will prolong your days in the land, which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. The Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up to this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and look at the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel for a possession. Then die on the mountain where you ascend, and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people, because you broke faith with me in the midst of the sons of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the sons of Israel. For you shall see the land at a distance, but you shall not go there, into the land which I am giving the sons of Israel. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai, and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At his right hand there was flashing lightning for them. Indeed, he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your hand, and they followed in your steps. Everyone receives of your words." Moses charged us with a law, a possession for the assembly of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people were gathered, the tribes of Israel together. "May Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few." And this regarding Judah, so he said, "Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. With his hand he contended for them, and may you be a help against his adversaries." Of Levi, he said, "Let your Thummim and your Urim belong to your godly man, whom you proved at Massah, with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and his mother, 'I did not consider them.' And he did not acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach your ordinances to Jacob, and your law to Israel. They shall put incense before you, and whole burnt offerings on your altar. O Lord, bless his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Shatter the loins of those who rise up against him, and those who hate him, so that they will not rise again." Of Benjamin he said, "May the beloved of the Lord dwell in security by him, who shields him all the day, and he dwells between his shoulders." Of Joseph, he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, with the choice things of heaven, with the dew, and from the deep lying beneath, and with the choice yield of the sun, and with the choice produce of the months, and with the best things of the ancient mountains, and with the choice things of the everlasting hills, and with the choice things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let it come to the head of Joseph, and to the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. As the firstborn of his ox, majesty is his, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. With him he will push the peoples, all at once, to the ends of the earth. And those are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and those are the thousands of Manasseh." Of Zebulun, he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going forth, and Issachar in your tents. They will call peoples to the mountain. There they will offer righteous sacrifices, for they will draw out the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand." Of Gad, he said, "Blessed is the one who enlarges Gad. He lies down as a lion and tears the arm, also the crown of the head. Then he provided the first part for himself, for there the ruler's portion was reserved, and he came with the leaders of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his ordinances with Israel." Of Dan, he said, "Dan is a lion's whelp that leaps forth from Bashan." Of Naphtali, he said, "O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, take possession of the sea and the south. Of Asher, he said, "More blessed than sons is Asher. May he be favored by his brothers, and may he dip his foot in oil. Your locks will be iron and bronze, and according to your days, so will your leisurely walk be. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he drove out the enemy from before you, and said, 'Destroy.' So Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon their high places." Now Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev, and the plain in the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows his burial place to this day. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, for all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all the servants and all his land, and for all the mighty power and for all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Thus ends the 5 books of the Law of Moses. Psalm 47, for the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah. O clap your hands, all peoples! Shout to God with the voice of joy! For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues peoples under us, and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob whom he loves. Selah. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Congratulations! You have completed the first 5 books in the Bible. And if you've made it this far, you've made it through some of the toughest portions of Scripture that are in the Bible. As we saw, Leviticus and Numbers and parts of Deuteronomy are very difficult at times, and lesser readers would probably have given up by now. But I thank you for being diligent and for not giving up on God's Word. So today, sadly, we say goodbye to a great man of God named Moses. And he had a good long life. We saw that he lived 120 years. We saw that his eyes never dimmed, meaning that he never deteriorated like a normal old man did. It also said that his vigor never abated, meaning that at 120 years old, until the day he died, he had the strength and energy of a young man. That is incredible. And he was a man who knew God face to face. Now, it says throughout Scripture that no one has seen God at any time. So obviously, this is figurative language. Because again, God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body to look at. And so what it's talking about is that intimacy that Moses had with God. God spoke to him like he was a friend, like somebody that he was very close with. And you don't see anybody else in Scripture that talks to God like this. Even Joshua, the successor of Moses, has to go through the priest in order to discern God's will. But here, Moses is able to speak face to face with God. And a few reasons why this is the case is, for one, he is the leader of the Israelite people, and he is acting as God's prophet. Sure, but there's a lot of God's prophets throughout history. But in addition, it also says that he was the most humble man that ever walked the earth, besides Christ. So that also shows that he recognized God's sovereignty, and while he wasn't perfect, he was a human just like us, he was for God 99.9% of the time, it seems. The beautiful thing today is that we no longer have to go through priests to meet with God. Jesus Christ is our perpetual high priest. Therefore, we can come to the throne of grace anytime we want, in the same way that Moses did. And so we can, in a sense, speak to God face to face through prayer. So never forget how good you have it. We are very blessed to not only have Christ be our Redeemer, but also that the barrier between God and man has been removed for those that have been called into salvation. Such glorious things that have happened in our lifetime. But I digress. So let's go to the Scripture that's at hand. Chapter 32 is what is often called the Song of Moses. And some of it is prophetic in nature, and some of it is historical in nature. So we see over the first 14 verses of this song that this is more of a historical background. And we're not talking about just Israel's history, to be clear. We're talking about the history of the world. Because some of what you see, for example, in verse 8, is referencing what happened in Genesis, chapters 10 and 11, most likely referring to the Tower of Babel. But then you go into verse 9, and it skips Abraham and Isaac, and goes straight into Jacob being recipient to a great inheritance by God. And then it goes into the history of the nation itself. But then, beginning in verse 15, it talks about how Israel begins to rebel. After God delivers them, they complain often, they go into idolatry often, and they're a people of unrepentance. So often, they are doing exactly against what God had said. Now, what might throw people off is this term here in verse 15, Jeshurun. Who is, or what is, Jeshurun? Jeshurun is a name that you'll see again later, referring to other people and places in Scripture. This is a term of endearment. And basically what Jeshurun means, roughly in the Hebrew, is the upright one. Someone who is a person of integrity. So he's referring to Israel as being an upright one, and yet they are rebellious. So I find that kind of odd. So as we continue on through the song, beginning in verse 19 through 31, it shows how God is going to react to their rebellion. And so he gives them limits to blessings. He's not going to allow them to be victorious over enemies. He's going to give them plagues and curses. And all that is listed here in this song. Then you will see that the nation of Israel will be restored to God. And in verse 39, it shows that God is absolutely sovereign and returns to who he is as a person, that he is worthy to be followed and worthy to be worshipped. And I like how he finishes the song on a high note, just like how in the Lord's Prayer, we basically have a needs sandwich, if you've ever noticed it like that. For example, it recognizes who God is and blesses the Lord, and then we ask for something in the middle, and then it ends with blessing the Lord once again. That's the sandwich illustration I'm using today, whether we like it or not. And then Moses finishes his song, and he's there with Joshua, and then he tells Israel to take to heart everything that Moses has taught them and has commanded them. And like he says in verse 47, this is not an idle word for you. This is not just something you want to listen to and do nothing with it. He is saying that this is your life. Your very existence depends upon it. Your relationship with God depends upon it because you are in a covenant with Him. That is why you need to take this very, very seriously, Israel. And the same goes with us as well. We need to take the scriptures very, very seriously because our lives depend on it too. In fact, the life of the whole world depends on it because here in this word is the only means of salvation. The only way to heaven, the only way to be forgiven of sins is here in this book. There is no other way. And I think that's why people hate God so much. Sadly, for the most part, it seems like the world is okay with the idea of hell. But what the problem seems to be more is that they don't like the idea that Jesus is the only way. They hate Jesus because he is exclusive. And that eliminates all autonomy and all independence from him. And that bothers people. Then we see at the end of chapter 32 that Moses is headed up to the mountain so that he can die. And before he does that, God is going to show him the land. And even before he is shown the land, in chapter 33, he is going to pronounce a blessing. You can read what each of these tribes received, some more than others, which should not be surprising at this point, because some tribes have been in rebellion with God, and even Jacob pronounced special blessings on both Judah and the tribe of Joseph, which is Ephraim and Manasseh. So that remains consistent. And the messaging is basically the same as well. And so we see Moses give a unique blessing to each of the tribes, except for one where he lumps in Zebulun with Issachar. But otherwise, they all have their own blessings of some kind. At the end of the blessings, he praises the Lord once again. And I like verse 27 very much, where it says that the eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I think that is so beautiful of a description of God. Yes, he is eternal. He is timeless. It has no effect on him. He is a dwelling place. He is a place of refuge. He is somewhere that we can go and we can be safe. And then it also says that underneath are the everlasting arms. And the arms obviously are used for a number of different things, right? Arms are used to work, right? Arms are used to comfort, as if you were giving somebody a hug. And often in scripture, we see that arms are used as a sign of power. It often says that his right arm is strong, it is just, it is righteous, and so on and so forth. So these arms are forever. And so he is allotting God much praise and admiration, which he rightly deserves. And then in chapter 34, Moses is finally shown the land that he worked so hard to bring the people to. Now, what is absolutely remarkable about this is that from his vantage point in Mount Nebo, he was able to see every corner of the land of Israel. Physically, again, that is impossible. What he must have seen was some kind of panorama that God gifted him with so that he could see the land even at the furthest corner of the land, which was hundreds of miles away. There is no way he could have seen it as a normal man. But yet God showed him every corner of it, and it was glorious to see. And then it says Moses died. And what's interesting is that God buried him. Now, we don't know where Moses is buried exactly, and there is a reason for that as well. It does say later in Scripture, especially in the book of Jude, right before Revelation, that there is a time where the body of Moses was contested. It states that Michael, the archangel, was at war with Satan over the body of Moses. Now, why in the world would Michael the archangel and Satan be fighting over the body of Moses? The only thing that comes to mind for me is that Moses is most often referred to as a messianic character. In the halls of Israel, Moses is the greatest Israelite ever. He is the greatest prophet of God. He is the one that had the most authority. And so, for some, it would seem only natural that if he were to rise from the dead and walk among the people again, they would see him as the Messiah. He would be the Christ. And so maybe that was Satan's aim. Maybe Satan wanted to find the body of Moses and somehow reanimate it to where he could use him as a puppet and be an antichrist. So I think that's one reason why God himself buried him. But I also think for the sake of not abusing or defiling him, he was buried by God as well. But either way, Moses did not die due to physical weakness. He did not die of old age. He did not die of any sort of sickness. God took him home. He had fulfilled his duty. And now it is time for the next generation to take it from there. So beginning tomorrow, we're going to see Joshua lead the people into the promised land and finally take what was rightfully theirs. Are they going to do everything God told them to do? No, they're not. They are going to make some big mistakes that is going to haunt them for the rest of their lives and for centuries thereafter. Maybe even some of it is still in effect today. I don't know. But we know that the Israelites are a stubborn people, but so are we. But God is faithful, and he is going to lead his people as he always promised he would. Now, for Psalm 47, this is a short psalm regarding God's kingship. It talks about how the Lord is to be feared, not necessarily that we're afraid of him, but that we give him the respect and reverence he deserves. He is the great king over all the earth. He subdues peoples and nations under his feet like it's nothing. He chooses our inheritance. He's the one who designates the patterns of this world. He is king over all creation. Nothing is too hard for him, and regardless of how evil the world's agenda is, he reigns supreme. That has always been the case, it never stopped, and it will always be that way. We need to use that as an encouragement for us today. So often, the patterns of this world and the direction we appear to be going in seem awfully dark. But we have to remember that God, for one, allowed those people to be in their leadership positions. But secondly is that none of this is outside of God's control. He knows exactly what's going on, and all of this is occurring for a reason. And all we need to do is trust God in the process. We have our job to do. We have the job of sharing Jesus with others, and we have the job of making disciples. Let the governing of the universe be on God's shoulders. That should be nothing we have to fret or be anxious about. God knows exactly what he's doing, and he's able to do it without any effort. So naturally, the scripture we're going to memorize today is going to be Psalm 47, verse 2. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. And with that, that's all I have for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Ryan, and we'll see you next time. Take care, and God bless you.